Hi there, my name is Heather Chitrangolo. I created Systemic Renewal, and I firmly believe that no one and no situation is ever too far gone. Well, welcome back everyone to Never Too Far Gone. This is Heather Chitrangolo. In this week's podcast, we are continuing the Following Favours series, and today with another special guest, Alicia O'Dowd. She is a renewalist, a nurse, and currently works as the Effectiveness and Outcomes Manager at CLEO, or C-L-E-O. I'm not sure if it's referred to as CLEO since the magazine already took that name. This organisation is the Clinical Leadership, Effectiveness and Outcomes team, and they are currently designing digital care pathways and using the latest technology and research to improve patient outcomes. So I wanted to invite Alicia to share with us this week because she brings insights into issues of systems change in terms of the healthcare industry. She has worked as nurse unit manager of infection prevention and surveillance. Alicia was also the manager of COVID testing sites and entry screening across Northern Health throughout the pandemic. She also led as project manager in strengthening hospital response to family violence in Northern and Kilmore Health, and has worked as associate nurse unit manager, including 8 years of experience in emergency medicine as a nurse. She is a passionate advocate for LGBTQIA+ inclusive and safe practice. Alicia has developed education programs to inform colleagues of the challenges the LGBTQIA+ community face when encountering the healthcare system, and has been a member of the Northern Health Rainbow Working Group since 2017. Alicia is wife to Mark, a secondary school teacher, mum to 3 teenage boys, and in her spare time, she likes to go for long walks, spend time with friends and family, sing, and volunteer at her local church community. What else? Alicia has always been a personal friend of mine since high school, and I am godmother to one of her 3 sons. She is what I would describe as a fighter and someone who I have seen reinvent herself or rediscover her purpose multiple times. And this is what really came out in the context of our conversation. And even though I was kind of hoping to focus the conversation specifically around healthcare and a lot of different themes around her experience in this system did come out in the interview. What was interesting was that in terms of the process of following favour, what really came out of our conversation was 3 concepts around purpose. The purpose of the people who we find favour with aligning with our own, and also the ongoing experience that we have of rediscovering and even changing our own sense of purpose. So 3 themes that you'll hear in the conversation that I'm about to share is that your community can change its sense of purpose, that you can change your purpose, and that the system as a whole can be more than it thinks it can. So without further ado, please welcome to the stage, Alicia O'Dowd.
Well, tell us how you got into nursing. So let's start at the start of the journey and tell us why you got into it in the first place. And then why did you move into a more management role where you were looking more at system change?
So I straight out of high school went on to do a business degree. As you were saying, it's quite different field. And I was studying language as well, I was studying Japanese. And during that time, I was also working in disability care. And while I was working, I was getting to know a lot of people who were in the health industry, and particularly nurses. I was like, it was a bit of a moth to a flame kind of situation, that I was really interested in what they were doing and wanted to know more about it. And I was actually pregnant with Eden, my eldest boy, when I was chatting with a nurse, and I was saying, oh, I wish I'd studied that. Like, I feel like I would have been a really great nurse. And she said, oh, you can, you know, of course you can. You've already got a degree. You can, you know, go in as a graduate entry. And I was thinking, are you mad? I'm expecting my first baby. I already have 2 degrees under my belt, and I'm only in my early, mid-20s. And So I thought about it, and then after Eden was born, I started studying again, and it took me a while to get everything together and actually get my degree and move into a career in nursing. But along the way, I really discovered that passion and absolutely, fell in love with it. And then during one of my placements, I was placed in the emergency department and never wanted to leave. So that's where I ended up. So in terms of management, it kind of came about in the emergency department, I guess, as a mature age nurse, a novice nurse, coming into it with a different life perspective. And then I very quickly kind of moved from novice nurse to getting my postgraduate in emergency nursing and building up my leadership in that area. And then around 2021, or even before that, I started doing a little bit of education on the side as well, in the area of family violence. And so training healthcare workers to recognise and respond to family violence, which was something I was very passionate about as well. And obviously COVID hit, and then in 2021, I started moving into more of a management role to try and help with the COVID response. So, and it kind of just seemed like a, I guess, a natural transition, given I was already in a junior position of leadership in the emergency department, and I already had that kind of business background. So then I've, found myself being able to team up my experience in my career and my knowledge through the study that I'd done, and look at, I think that gave me the opportunity to take a step back just from the nursing aspect and actually look at how the organization functions as a system. And I really think of systems like organisms, like a human body, so you've got all these different parts and all the different things that they can do, but without it all being together, it's just a disorganized mess. So it needs to all feed into each other, and I got that kind of little bit more of an oversight into how this organism that is the healthcare service functions, and what its life supports are, and what its the different aspects that aren't really serving it well, and the warning signs of future deterioration there as well, that you kind of go, oh, I just think that perhaps that particular part isn't quite functioning well enough that in 10 years' time that's going to keep serving us the way it is right now. So yeah, so that's kind of, I guess, my journey in a nutshell. Very, very brief journey summary.
So what I'd be interested in, because this podcast series is about following favor. So the idea is about finding where there's already a lot of receptivity, malleability, interest in the change, and starting there. That's one of the strategies we use. So where have you found, or who have you found favor with more easily, say, or where there's within the system already a really high degree of collaboration, passion, interest in these changes?
Yeah, there's been a few projects that I've been involved in, and there's one that's really stood out. I don't know if I can name them specifically, and we haven't quite launched yet, but it's just a group that at first they were reluctant. They were a little bit apprehensive, and didn't quite know what this was going to look like in terms of the service that they're already providing. Is it going to be like for like, or is it going to be, totally different? And it was really hard to conceptualize and even explain to them at the beginning. But as they were involved in the process of creating this new digital version of the service that they were providing, they really started to engage with it and started to see the vision and started to understand the value in it. And there's still a few things to iron out and just make sure that everyone is just really comfortable and can see that this isn't necessarily going to take away, their time, and all of that is actually going to enhance the service that they provide. But it's hard to do that at first, because at first there's always going to be that teething, that adjustment, and the perception that, well, this certainly is taking longer than what I normally would take to do this task. But once things start to move along, then we're really hoping that it does become something that they really enjoy and they really get so much out of, and so do their patients, and that it becomes a service that they can all be really proud of. And I think already we're starting to feel that buzz kind of lift in the team, and they're starting to get really excited and talk about it more and start to think ahead to perhaps even being able to talk about this project to some conferences next year and explain how it all worked. And so yeah, you can kind of see that shift from real apprehension at first of, I just can't see it and I just don't know how it's going to work and we are too busy for this, to no, this is really exciting and I think we're all on board now. So yeah, it's been a really, really nice to partner with them, and we're all very excited to see this happen.
Oh well, amazing project that we don't know what it is.
We will soon.
Was this a team of people who opted in to be involved, volunteered, or they were signed up for it?
So it was a person within, I guess, their greater team that suggested that this would be a really good idea. Yeah, so that's where it kind of was really hard at first to communicate with people who hadn't even thought that this was happening, you know, so it kind of came out of the blue for some of the team. So yeah, so we had to, I guess, build those relationships quite early and make sure that everybody really understood, and giving the time to people to say, you know, do you have any concerns? Do you have any questions? Do you, what's holding you back right now? You know, so the ones that didn't feel all that on board at the beginning and feel like they'd been thrown into it without kind of knowledge, you know, beforehand, could really feel heard and understood. So there's been a lot more relationship building, I think, with this particular project. And I think in the future that's going to influence how we engage with other people that are coming on board and other teams. Yeah, but it's been a joy. They've been so wonderful. So we're really excited, and it will launch this year. So yeah, there'll be announcements. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's just a reminder that large-scale macro change, it just starts often with one project or one team doing something new and having an example to share.
Exactly. And I think that that's really what's going to happen here. We're going to see this amazing team that have jumped on board and really taken a leap of faith into something that nobody else has been, you know, able to necessarily jump into like they have. And then others can see that and go, wow, I think we can, we might be able to do that. And yeah, so I think it's going to be really great for everybody.
So what, one of the things I'd like to finish with, Alicia, is about how does someone like you, who is so needed in this space, stay in this work? Because you've obviously been under a lot of pressure. You know, you trained, had three children, you worked in emergency for 8 years, which would be huge in itself, I imagine. Then you worked in a leadership role through COVID, which would have also been, I imagine, very stressful. You've had a lot going on, you know, for your family that you've been navigating at the same time. Have you ever reached a quitting point?
It's interesting, because when I was in emergency, I thought that that is all I could do, that that really was the extent of my knowledge and abilities right there. And it was exhilarating work. But I think there did come a point at which I had burnt out, but I didn't really take a moment to really acknowledge that. So I really kind of swept it under the carpet to myself, you know, to just ignore that that kind of feeling was there, and that I was no longer sleeping well or eating well or, you know, really engaging with my family as well as I could. So I think that to stay long term, you know, be having that insight and that ability to call on people when times are tough, or when you're not quite sure where you're at, or where you've, you know, perhaps lost your way and you don't really know what is my passion and what is my purpose, being able to have somebody there that you can turn to and really discuss it early before it becomes an issue. And I think for me, I did need to take some time out from emergency, and that management role was enough to kind of, you know, make me realize that there is a lot more to my skills and knowledge than I was, you know, willing to admit in the beginning. But then I think also finding your niche, and sometimes that is not necessarily forever. It could be for a season, and it could be that at the time emergency nursing was exactly what I needed, and you know, what was a really something that I was really passionate about, really, really loved that job and still have a lot of affection for it. But right now, what I'm doing and how I'm able to apply my skills and knowledge to something that is so much bigger than one department, and so much more lasting change that is, you know, has so much potential. Mm-hmm. In the health service to be able to provide lasting change. So I find that really stimulating and really interesting. And the team that I work with are such an incredible visionary bunch of people, and led by these two incredible women that I just am so proud to be working for, that I just could only dream of measuring up to what they have achieved in their lives. So yeah, just finding that purpose and sometimes, you know, realizing that perhaps your purpose does change over time, and allowing yourself that time to reflect and grow and move where you're needed, not necessarily just stay in the one place because you think that is it for you. That is the only thing that you can possibly do, because there's more, there's always more.
So it sounds like taking some time out wasn't only about recovery, but maybe it was also about reorientating around who you are and what you're called to, what your contribution is going to be.
I think so. And I think as soon as I moved into that management kind of role, I started studying for Masters of Public Health and Masters of Health Administration, which has taken me several years to complete, but I'm almost at the end now. And it was basically a way of me saying, you know, where is, I know that ED was my home and my love, but, you know, where am I now? Where is my passion now? Where is my knowledge now? And it really has helped to reorient me to, you know, to where my purpose is right now, as I am now as a person who's been, I guess, in, you know, in my 40s now and in a different phase of life and wanting new challenges and new strategies. And so, yeah, so that basically has really helped to make me think about who I am and where I'm going. Yeah.
Yeah, so part of what I believe is that we can't lead change or renewal in a system unless we're also in a process of renewal ourselves. And so what's been the most important thing that you've learned about yourself in this journey?
Oh, gosh. I think, like I was saying, it's just that I am capable of more than I thought I was. So there's a lot of imposter syndrome going on. So a lot of, oh, why am I here and other people aren't? And am I ready for this? Am I right for this? But just looking past that and just going, why not me? why not this place? Why, you know, we can do this. We can make a change. And why not me as a person to try and step into those shoes and clumsily take those first few steps towards change, and you know, it may not be perfect at the beginning, but I know that, you know, I can move those steps, and I can, you know, team up with the right people, and, you know, like I said, we've got this amazing team of people working together, and together we can definitely we can shift that needle, and we can start to make a change.
Yeah. It's so good, because if you can say to yourself, why not me, you can then lead a whole group or a whole system to say, why not us? Why couldn't we be capable of more than we think we are? Maybe we can do more than we think we can.
Definitely. Yeah.
Maybe it's not arrogant or imposter-like to decide to be the first to try this or to step it up, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of it's difficult because we're definitely trained to be humble and not step into that confidence and the humility, it does feel a little bit uncomfortable at times to talk about it, but I know that there's a lot of people out there that are capable of so much more than they give themselves credit for. So just trying to lead that example as best I can Also, you know, for my children and for the communities that I help, and our health service, which is really truly one of the greatest services in Melbourne. I just think that they are just such an amazing, hardworking group of people that just deserve so much success. And I hope that we can be part of that.
So we can now move into a time of reflection, and I do just encourage you to take a breath, take a pause, use the questions that I'll share now to journal, to reflect as you walk, in whatever way is helpful for you as you continue to develop your own practice as a leader of renewal. So the first question is, how could you honour the first people who took, as Alicia called it, a leap of faith in your context to try a new program or a new approach? The second question relates to your own sense of purpose. Has your purpose changed over time? Is it changing right now? And thirdly, reflecting again on the overall purpose of the system you're in and the favour that you have to reimagine it. Is the system that you're in capable of more than it thinks it is? Why not you, your people, your networks, and why not right now? The Academy of Systemic Renewal is based in Melbourne, and so we acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.